Welcome back to the 5x5. I'm your host, David, and this is, drumroll please, our late night show. I need to cue some drums up or something. You think that'll work? Excuse me, maybe not. Thank you guys for joining me. I've been so absolutely lazy today, and I have absolutely no reason to, well, lazy in the sense that I didn't get anything accomplished for myself, even when I had an opportunity to do so. I took the parental unit out today because they had claimed that we was going to have crazy storms because we have like 70 degree days and, you know, below freezing degree night. So when that, you know, that cold air hits that warm air, you have all these crazy storms. When I tell you we didn't get a lick of rain, and everybody was going nuts the weatherman was going nuts on TV about it today. I'm like, are you kidding me? But anyhow, I took my mother, you know, some places today because I thought she needed to get out of the house. So that's what I did with her. And although she was kind of planting the seeds early on. And I'm like, ugh, because I had planned on watching the rest of the season of House of Cards today. This is my Sunday. This is my Sunday because, you know, I go back to work on Friday, Saturday, Monday. So this is my Sunday. So my last day off work. I wish I had asked somebody to work for me tomorrow because I really don't want to work. It's like I said, I didn't get anything done. Ken Boggle from Ken Boggle Talk, we had a show last night. We just talked about a lot of things. Actually, I had a good time, so you'll see more of that coming in the future. And no, it would not be called The Crew, contrary to crazy opinions. and I do mean crazy. Anyhow, so we went out, and my mother, she bless her heart, she's a hoarder. She hoards stuff. You know, she has stuff from, I mean, the stuff on top of stuff. And it's not like what you see on TV, but it's heading that way. And I guess I hoard to a certain extent. I keep things because a lot of things, and I didn't know I was this sensitive, but obviously I am. I didn't know that I keep things that have sentimental value. There is so funny. I was just about an hour ago, I was going through a tote of stuff because I was getting some things together for my Fanboy Weekly show on Sunday night. Sunday, well, it's really Monday morning, but Sunday night at 1 a.m. So if you guys check it out, I'll be on talking, bringing you all the comic book gossip that I have. Check out those shows. They're fun for me. I like doing them. And then I was also working on some stuff for Kitty and I to start doing our Google Hangout. So listen in the future. We're going to be, I'll broadcast something or tell you we're having a Google Hangout. Would love you guys to join us on Google Hangouts. You can always add, if you go to 5x5@gmail.com and add me to your Google circle, it'll be a little bit easier if you want to hang out and chat with Ken and I. I look forward to bringing some of my past interview guests and a couple that I have coming up in the future. The two of them said that would be fun, they would love to do it, but you know, you never know. But excuse me. And so I was going to work on that, and I did a little bit, but I was going through this tote of mine that I didn't take with me when I moved to Atlanta. So I'm like, let me go through that because you know the new Guardians of the Galaxy movie is coming out, and I'll talk about this more on Fanboy Weekly this coming Sunday. And I knew I had some old issues of the comic book, so I wanted to find those. So going through this, through the through the tent, through the tub, tote, 10 tub tote, it's a tote. Going through the tote, I noticed I had like some of my high school stuff in there. I had my high school letter that I never got put on a sweater because I didn't like the high school I went to. And that, with that being said, I have some friends from the junior, well, middle school that fed into the high school I went to, and you know they treated the school that the middle school that I went to as the redheaded stepchild. They didn't treat us very nicely when we went to high school, and we were all kind of talking about it on Facebook, and our 25-year reunion is coming up, so I'm assuming that's going to be the summer. There's another Light of the Ages reunion coming up as well, and whether I'm going to either one of those, probably not. I'm planning on vacationing in Atlanta at the end of next month, but then there's the first ever comic book gaming con convention at the beginning of April, and then there's my mother's birthday, and then Free Comic Book Day. It's all these events that are coming up here once we get out of winter, and you know, because February is quickly coming to a close, it'll start being warm like next month, hopefully. At least by April, it'll start being warm. There's buds on the trees, and this kind of crazy weather that we have, and it's kind of indicative of what's coming. So, was it April, March? No, March showers bring April flowers. Is that the old saying? But anyhow. For me not to get off topic, we went to a thrift store. I don't know if you have thrift stores in your town. You know, there's Goodwills everywhere, but this wasn't a Goodwill. This one's called St. Vincent's. And I always have an attitude when I go in this place because they the stuff is not priced, you know, for people. I don't buy stuff there. You know, I can't. I think I one time years ago I bought some weights there, but it's all smelly and I don't really like it. But my mother, being the hoarder that she is, she thinks she needs this stuff. You know, I guess one man's trash is another man's treasure type of thing. But I just don't. I don't like wearing other people's clothes. And not that I'm a snob by any means, because I'm not. It's just that I don't like doing it. And I don't know why they sell underwear and shoes. That's kind of bizarre to me. Why would you sell used shoes and underwears? That's all. I always think of toenail fungus and yeah. And so, but she likes getting a little tchotchke stuff. Like she got a mirror today, and she got something and a bag that she didn't need. She's like, "Well, I can use it for that." And I'm like, "You really don't." And here I'm saying, "You're so funny." You become the parent. I'm like, "You really don't need that." And she's like, "Well, I cannot buy what I don't what I want to buy." I'm like, "You can buy anything you want to buy. I just know you don't need it because it's going to end up in one of the many cluttered corners in your house, and it's going to be forgotten." And you're never going to use it, and but she bought it anyhow. And then she bought a mirror for the bathroom. I was like, "Why do you need a mirror in your bathroom? You have one." She's like, "Why don't put it on the wall?" I'm like, "Well, you have a mirror over the sink, and your whole shower is a mirror, full length. You know the whole thing. You know them sliding glass mirrors. It's kind of an older shower." I'm like, "So why do you need it?" "It's because I want it." "Okay, I got you." So we did that, then we went grocery shopping, and I got irritated. Not that it takes, because this is a city, everything in this city irritates me. From the chuck holes in the ground, I mean, there's more holes in the ground. You know, I would have to get an alignment every week if, you know, if not that if I can afford it, if I had the time to do it, but because I probably need an alignment now because there's so many holes. Anyhow, and then it being like, I think we reached 70 degrees today, and only in Indiana you will have people wearing shorts and flip flops. It's not summer, and I don't want to see your toes. Not in February. And I mean, everybody was all over the place with all, were wearing their little flip flops and stuff. I couldn't get it. It was really overcast. Like I said, it was supposed to rain, but it didn't. And it was, you know, kind of, I'm like, put some pants on and some regular shoes. And I mean, I seen a girl, a couple of, it was more, I see more guys in shorts and flip flops than it was girls. It was very, very bizarre. It was all over the place. But then I got irritated at the store because my mother and I, we were, guess, purchasing some groceries, and I made a fabulous. I will never, I will never, fry chicken in vegetable oil again. I've switched completely over to extra virgin olive oil, even though expensive. If you go to Big Lots, you can get it for $5. And I call it my. I stole this recipe. You guys, I know y'all. You guys have heard the story. Like last week when I cooked dinner for my family, I fried chicken breast, and I made it for my family. But this is kind of an extension of that. I made a chicken sandwich instead. So I fried my chicken in the olive oil. And I beat the chicken up to get it to make it a little bit more tender, so it grabs the when you put it in the flour and stuff, so it grabs a little bit better and you get a crisp crust. And when I tell you, it would taste just as good as Chick-fil-A's, even though I don't eat at Chick-fil-A anymore for obvious reasons. And I do. I think is I miss eating at Chick-fil-A, but it's principle. It tastes just as good as Chick-fil-A. And I was pretty proud of myself. So I had that with cheddar, mashed potatoes, and it was on a buttered roll. It was really, really good. But anyhow, while I was buying that stuff for my dinner tonight, there was a lady in front of us, and so the cashier said, "Oh, did you get one of our free cookbooks?" And the lady was, "Oh, no, I didn't get one." So she said, "Oh yeah, you get a free one." So I check out. The lady didn't say anything to me. My mother checks out. She didn't say anything to my mother, and I'm like, "Excuse me, why didn't you ask us if we wanted a free cookbook? Not that I need anything free, and not that I need a cookbook, because you know he can cook." And so she's like, "Because you didn't spend enough money," and she yells it at me. And so, and I didn't cause a scene. I could have. I'm like, okay. And I was like, this city has a lot of antiquated feelings on race, not very progressive, not very diverse. Even though that's not a huge black community here, but there is a black presence in the city. But like I was telling you the other day, when I went out to have a birthday drink with my friend, the friend that I brought with me, we were the only black people in the restaurant. And that's unfortunate, because that's why I don't like this area. Not that I don't like white people. I have a lot of white friends. You know, I have white friends that are really, really close to me. And that's not the whole saying, "I have white friends or I have black friends." It's true. I have a very multicultural friendship base. And you know, I grew up in this area, so I have friends and of all colors. And going to Atlanta, I had, you know, that has kind of expanded my ethnic friends. But it's hard when you walk around and you don't see people who look like you. And I have issue with that. I need to see somebody who looks like me. And so I just looked at her, and she was not older. She was probably in her late 50s. And then she kind of smirked to me, like, you know, like I couldn't. So she didn't even. So I called back and I spoke to the store manager. I'm like, you know, she was kind of nasty to me, and you know, about this free cookbook. You know, I said I didn't want one. I wanted one for my mother. My mother likes that kind of stuff. Not that she needs another book in this house, because she doesn't. Thank God she's been getting audiobooks from the library. She's listening to those without buying books and stacking them up on all the bookshelves we have in this house. We could have a mini library because we have so many books in this house. You know, but I have a lot of books too. But anyhow, I haven't read them. But anyhow, and so and she's doing well, by the way. You know, she's getting healthier. And so I don't know if that's a key that I can resume my life back in Atlanta. I haven't really decided yet. I think that's where my mind is telling me to do, but we're going to give it another 6 months and see how things transpire. But anyhow, enough of that. We didn't rain. I made a great dinner. It's my Sunday, and have to go back to work tomorrow. Thank you guys for listening. You know, you can always catch us on our Blogspot blog, the 5x5.blogspot.com, or Facebook, facebook.com/the5x5, completely spelled out, or send me a tweet at the 5x5, and just like in the blog address, the fives are numerical. Thank you guys for listening to me. I am David. This is the 5x5 late night show. Coming up, we're going to be talking about this Utah lunch system craziness, snatching trays from kids. We're going to talk about an app that tells you what states are having the most or the least sex. And also, I think I have something about Oh, I had something else. Oh, and then there's another computer program. It's web-based that will let you know whether you're gay or not. So we're gonna take a quick break. We'll be back and we'll start talking about our topics.
Imagine a world where bullying isn't considered a normal part of childhood.
A world where I'm not afraid to go to school.
To speak out.
To be myself.
Loser. A world where I'm not afraid to be caught alone.
Come on, punk.
We have the power to stop the bullying. Speak out.
Speak up.
Educate.
Find out what to look for and how you can make a difference at bullying.org.
Bullying is not kids being kids.
It's not about good homes or bad homes.
It's not a normal part of growing up. I shouldn't be afraid to get on the school bus.
To turn on my computer.
Message. A walk to my locker. Did you know that a bully will stop his or her behavior in 10 seconds when their peers speak up?
Use your voice.
Hey, leave him alone.
We have the power to stop bullying.
Find out more at bullying.org.
Bullying.org.
Where you're not alone.
Where you're not alone.
Where you're not alone. As long as we're alone,
let's get away.
Let's get away.
Oh, let's get away.
Yeah.
Oh,
That really should have been a theme for the first part when I just get my kind of introduction. Have you noticed, guys, that I do that? I kind of talk a little bit before I really start talking about what I'm talking about. I know I'm weird. I can't help it. welcome back. It's the 5x5 Late Night Show. Thank you guys for joining me. And welcome, Mr. Ken Boggle, to the chat room. He's always so supportive and complimentary of me. I do appreciate him and his support. Makes me smile that somebody likes you for who you are, not what you are or what you have or what they can get from you. You have so many people that you run into in the course of your lifetime. And I think, and then, and I'm going to preface it with sometimes online relationships, online friendships, they're viable. There's some that kind of fizzle out and they kind of start the way they finish. They kind of finish the way they start. But then sometimes you find that person that, okay, we connect on the same level and we understand and we can relate and we're relatable to one another. And I do consider Ken a friend of mine. We can just talk about anything and we might chat online or we might pick up the phone and talk to each other. And it's just like somebody I've known, or somebody that's been in my circle of friends for a long time. And I do appreciate that, even if I don't say it, because I'm not all that warm and fuzzy sometimes. Ken kind of knows that. He says teardrop. And don't forget the hashtag that Ken created for me a couple of weeks ago. If you want to say anything about the show, of course you can tweet me at the 5x5 or hashtag the letter L, the number 8, and night. So late night, like you would see, and I explain this how you would see it maybe on the back of a license plate. Maybe that should be my license plate for next year, late night. That's kind of hot. We'll see. Anyhow, he said you don't have to say it, you show it. I try. I'm completely flawed. For a year, I went around telling everybody that my theme song was from Beyonce. When I let me tell this real quick. When I was 15 going to 16, when I thought I was grown, my theme song has always been a female theme song. Imagine that. It was Control. Until my mom let me know who was really in control. I was a teenager, she was an adult, and she ran who ran the world? It was Deborah, not me. But then a few years back, when I was kind of dating seriously, and you know how you find somebody you want to date, and they found out you might be a little crazy or different than what you kind of put out there. Which I tell people, the David you see are here is the same David at work, the same David when I'm out with friends, the same David when I'm talking to you guys. I'm pretty consistent in my behavior. Sometimes I might get a little snooty, but but I come down real quick. But my theme song then was Flaws and All. You know, and the first lyrics of the song was I'm a bitch in the morning. You know, I'm a train wreck in the afternoon. That was me. You know, and so maybe that ran up. Maybe that's why I'm single. People got scared because they heard that song. It's like, no, we ain't dealing with you. But now it's bow down, bitches, trust, because I'm flawless. Anyhow, before we went to break, we were talking. I was telling you guys we're going to talk about. And first, what I want, that's why, if you guys want to know why I always play the bully PSA, because I play it for one, because it's still prevalent in society. I think there's all kind of bullies. It's not just reserved for children, which, you know, that's what I think is we need to focus on. But there's adult bullying, there's cyberbullying, there's workplace bullying. You know, if you look back to some of the archives of the show, Darling Nikki and I did a bully show, and I think it's called Bully 2.0, I think the Spreaker version. And I think it's important, because when I was in high school, or even as a young adult, you know, I was bullied horribly, just because I was me. And you know, I, of course, dealing with my sexuality, and then having all these mean kids, you know, for whatever reason, kids do what they do, kind of attack me verbally, mentally, emotionally. But I didn't break. I had a good support system, which some kids don't have, but I play that a lot. But the reason why I'm playing it today is because of the whole Utah, I don't know if you guys have been seeing it on news, the Utah food, not even food, the Utah, I think it's Salt Lake City, actually, the school system there, they have been snatching trays from kids who haven't been able to pay for their lunch. It was a elementary school in Salt Lake City where approximately 40 children had their lunches seized by school workers and thrown out in front of everyone. I mean, seriously, if that was my child, I would have lost my mind. And you know what is funny? I put a lot of things on Facebook. I put a lot of things on Facebook, whether it's something funny, something, one of my daily rants, or something like this where I think it's important. And on some of my little silly stuff, I put on there about what I was making for dinner tonight, and I got more comments and likes than this that I put on Facebook as well. The link to this particular website is called First Draft. It's almost like the where Zoe works on House of Cards. It's not the real mainstream news media. It's like this kind of offshoot website that puts all kind of stuff on there. And I like what they say. It's at first called First Draft, first-draft.com. Writing is only real on the first draft. And I think that's true. I dig that. When you put it out the first time and you have to say what you have to say, I think it starts changing and not becoming authentic when you go back and rewrite it. So I'm a fan of, you know, saying what you have to say up front without second guessing yourself and then kind of regurgitating some information, either watering it down or trying to add to it to make it more sensational, but I think it becomes less authentic. But anyhow, this is going on in the Salt Lake City school system, and the reason why they're doing this to these children that because they are had outstanding balances. The children had outstanding balances on their cards, the lunch cards or on their. I don't know how. I don't have any children. I know my sister. I've heard where she had. But even with my niece, she had to put money on an account to take care of the lunch for a month or a week or a day, or the kid took their money every day. It's just easier because kids lose money to put it on the account, so that makes sense to me. But my mother worked in the school system here, and I knew this was happening years ago, and they were feeding the kids, but they were taking the lunch from these children, the hot lunch, and saying, oh, your parents haven't paid your bill. This is a kid, a child. You know, whether they have the emotional development or the mental development to understand, oh, my mom hasn't paid my bill. You know, my mom doesn't have the money to pay. But whether they know about that, because some kids are not so intrinsically involved in the household finances. But this... this has happened, and my mother says she would see them take the lunch, throw it in the trash can. You know, the lunch is already served, the milk's on the tray, they're carrying it, get to the cashier, and she would, your account, 107 or whatever, and oh, your mother didn't pay for your lunch, you have no money in your account, you don't have any money with you, here's a peanut butter sandwich, and that's all you get, and you can get some water. I mean, to me, with they have kind of laid. What I don't know what I'm trying to say. They have paved the way for their peers, because this is all done. This is supposedly in this allegedly in this school system. They have done it in front of their peers. They have also went as far as putting like these little temporary stamps on the kids' hands to show that they haven't been paying for their lunch or their parents haven't been paying for lunch. So they automatically know they don't get food that day. One part of the article say, according to news reports, the district's child nutrition department sent a child nutrition manager to the school after officials became aware that a number of students owed money on their accounts. The manager, who for some reason is unnamed in the newspaper account, we need this person's name, decided to withhold lunches from these kids. Unfortunately for her, these, they call them PETA predators, had already been served. This left only two solutions. One, let the kids eat this lunch, send a note home explaining that tomorrow or the next day, lunch will be withheld if the parents don't make good on their debts. Two, snatch the lunches back from the kids, throw them out, as the food has been served to one student can't be served to another. Throwing out the food makes no sense. Of course it doesn't. It's already out there and the monetary loss has been created, so you can't get it back. So that's what I was saying. Once the kid has the tray, you know, they're breathing on it. You know, kids don't blow their nose right in their cough, and it just goes in the trash can. So you're out the money, regardless of what you choose to do. You're trying to, and they're calling this lunch shaming. You're trying to lunch shame a child for something that they have no control over. They don't have a job, you know. And I know here in the city that I live in, especially when I'm saying the city that I live in, one of the school districts here is very, very, it's an impoverished area. And you know, a lot of the people are on, government, assistance. And sometimes I don't know how the school lunch system works, how they quantify people, but whether they're on government assistance or not, this is an area that, in this particular school district, that, you know, they're single parent homes, you know, blame it on society, blame it on whatever. You know, there's a lot of people out there, and I have people on my Facebook page that I've been deleting that blame these people for being in a situation. They have kids and they go, well, they need to go to work. Well, some of them are working, but when you're making $7.75 at McDonald's or cleaning toilets or doing whatever these entry level, low paying jobs are, sometimes, you know, it's more important to keep your electricity on, keep your water running, and have food in the house. But they were doing this at this particular school system, and supposedly they weren't supposed to be throwing the food away. It was a fund that was developed, but they was trying to make a mockery out of this particular school system, because and the way I saw it, and this was happening right before I moved away, the way I saw it was, these kids shouldn't have to come to school and worry about if they're going to eat. They have more pressing matters at home, you know, poverty being one of them, you know, whatever the parents are doing, that has to be stressful, and they are innocent. So to dehumanize and humiliate these children in front of their peers, it just creates the way for bullying to happen, especially when you're doing it in front of their peers. I'm like, that's the most insane thing I have ever, ever, ever heard. Hold on 1 second. Yeah, that is terrible. Ken, they have been tripping, and that's in Salt Lake City. Hey, Five, who's this? Hey, Kiss Kiss, where have you been? I haven't seen you in a very, very long time. Kiss Kiss. Kiss Kiss was talking. I can't get this to scroll up. Let me go to the other chat room. I'm sorry, guys. Sometimes it won't let you. Let's see. Kiss, it sounds like a prison. And Kiss Kiss says, hey, 5x5. Hey, Kiss. And Kiss says that happened when she was in school. And she said, they call you out and take you to call your mother. And she says, it really did suck, not only because it made you feel bad, but all of the kids watched you walk back there. Ken says, America, the only place where war gets more money than properly feeding children in need. The lunch ladies loved me, and after my third year there, they would just not make me pay at all. I think they felt bad for me. When I hit high school, I stopped eating lunch altogether. Wow. Yeah, I didn't eat lunch. And when I was in high school... Oh, well, I missed you, Kiss Kiss. I haven't seen you in a long time. Welcome back. Welcome back. And thank you for listening to my crazy ramblings. But yeah, when I stopped eating in high school, I never ate, but for one, I was being bullied for other things. But I just, you know, I either I but then when I started driving, I drove. There was a lot of little restaurants, and that's what we still had open campuses, to where we could go out. You know, if you had a car, you could leave campus for lunch. And I think my sophomore, junior, and senior years, my sophomore year, my friends had cars. The end of my junior year and my senior year, I had a car. So, or somebody had a car that drove that we could go out to eat. But yeah, it's difficult. And I would hate to be that kid having to, you know, be in front of their friends, you know. So the rest of the day after lunch, you still have a half a day because sometimes these kids eat early. Like I know my nephew, he eats at 10:45 before 11. Oh, thanks, Kiss. Thank you so much, Kiss, Kiss. Kiss, Kiss is in the room, y'all. She's been away, but now she's back. Glad to see her. Thanks, girl. It was sad, but I looked fabulous. I was bullied, but gorgeous. See, I wasn't gorgeous, Ken. I had to rely on the academics to get me through because I know I had to face my mother when I came home if I brought home bad grades. But I was overweight. You know, I was one of the darker skinned black kids. And plus, and this is going to be bad to say, and none of my black friends now that went to school with me would ever say that they did this, but they treated me bad because a lot of my peers who lived in my neighborhood, I was one of the few, my cousin and I, who we all lived in the same area, the black area of town, we were the only ones that had a mother and a father married in the house. We were the only ones, and they didn't treat him bad, but they treated me bad because I was the black kid in a class full of white people, white kids that they thought I was trying to be white, and I got so much slack for that. But I thank God I made it through. I would not want to be a kid in this day and age. In 2014, I can do it. I can do it. It's just too much. But this whole school thing needs to cease because they're just making things worse. And supposedly the guy, the superintendent, he said he didn't know this was happening. A part of the article says, this is the last paragraph. Olson is the person's name. Sitting down with his family and friends at a nice restaurant, and suddenly the wait staff showed up. I guess he's the person who's the manager of the nutrition program in Salt Lake City, Utah school systems. And they grabbed back the food and said, "Sorry, but we just ran a credit check and you're too poor to eat here." How the hell would he feel? That's great. Then imagine that instead of politely eating their food, patrons at the tables around him pointed at him, laughed, or chanted, "You're too poor, you're too poor." What would he feel like then? Outraged and since mortified. Take those feelings and multiply them by a factor of 10, and you have the vaguest inkling of what the kids feel. Kids are unsure of themselves, of course. The fear of being ostracized and singled out as different can cripple them. The notion that they have been failed by their parents, mocked in the lunchroom, and then told, "Sorry, but hey," by the district is a vile and disgusting outcome in a situation that didn't need to be this way. In the end, the most human gesture out of this disaster was that one person was so upset she went home and made lunches for all the children who had theirs taken. Of course, that person was 11 years old. Wow. This is insane. So we will be following this story. So if you want to read the full story, you can go on the Facebook page. There's a link there. The Facebook.com/ the 5x5 spelled out, or you can go to the blog later and I'll have a link there. Or you can go to www.first-draft.com and look for the lunch bullying and food shaming Utah style article. So thank you guys for checking us out. We're gonna take another break and we'll be back and we'll be talking about this new website that can tell you whether you're gay or not. We'll be right back.
spirit is deep and the mind is vast.
I haven't played that song in a very long time. That was Embrace the Taste, Alex Barroza. But that was my girl Snowflake. Remember the song I played almost every episode during Christmas called Peace? That's the same chick singing it. So I like her voice. She has a good, smooth, very adaptable to any style voice. You know, I'm sitting here and I forgot I had some wine. And I put on Facebook last night that I didn't find my wine stopper, but I actually did find it. So I can finish my, you know, and I don't like, it's Sutter Home, and I don't really like Moscato. But I wanted something sweet because, you know, I have a crazy sweet tooth. But I bought some bubbly pink Moscato. It's actually really, really good. I know it's kind of low rate. It was only like $8.37. But when I tell you guys this is really, really good, it's really good. So I'm going to finish this bottle while I'm talking to you guys. Can you hear it? And you know what? That's one thing. Champagne. Oh, I can pull. Oh, there's only one glass, guys. I didn't even fill up my wine glass like how I like it filled up. But it's really, really good. welcome back. It's your lush host, David from the 5x5, and this is the 5x5 Late Night Show. And before we go on to, it is good, Kiss Kiss. I've been looking for is a wine that I bought in Atlanta a few years ago, and it was a Shiraz, and it was a sparkling Shiraz. Now, I know people don't like sparkling wines, especially if they're trying to be all uppity and whatever. I ain't trying to impress anyone by drinking wine. I love sweet wine, Kiss. I'm going to have a glass just like Jessica Lange. Okay. And I bought this sparkling wine to a party. And one of my friends was like, oh, you shouldn't give that to them because they'll think you're really, really, uncultured or whatever. I'm like, boy, please. And so when we broke the bottle open, it was the hit of the party. It was the best wine. And then till this day, I haven't found another bottle of this wine. I won't find it here. So when I go to Atlanta next month, I'm going to World Plus Market or World Cost Plus Market. You know the store that has all that different kind of stuff. I love this store. I don't have one in this area, but I'm going to go back there because they have a great wine selection. They do like little wine tasting and stuff. I'm going to go and I'm going to try to find that bottle of wine. I should take a picture of it. Yes, I am a lush. I can't help it. But here, I'm gonna sip. You know, like what's Andy Cohen say? Take a guzzlet of your drink. I'm taking a guzzlet right now. So 1 second. Still got the flavor. He won. Anyhow, before we go on, yeah, I'm not a big beer drinker either. Oh, who lives in Atlanta? Kiss? Kiss, Kiss, you live in Atlanta? No. How come I didn't know that? Well, I'm an AT alien, by the way. Living in the Midwest. I consider Atlanta home. I don't consider Indiana my home anymore. Atlanta is my home. Georgia is my home. Well, I used to live in Smyrna, and I lived in Decatur as well. When I lived in Atlanta area, and I worked in Douglasville. I don't miss the traffic at all. But have you guys heard, well, seen, I seen it today. I don't shop at this particular store. I stopped shopping for food at these discount stores like Aldi and Save-A-Lot, and there's another one. There's one in Atlanta. I can see the building, but I can't see the name. Well, anyway, Aldi has been getting meat from their suppliers, and it's been anywhere from beef, anywhere from 30% to 100% horse. Can y'all believe that? Horse. Here recently it says, here's the article circulated on Facebook. Breaking news claims that the U.S. branch of international supermarket chain Aldi has confirmed that there is up to 100% horse meat in products it sells as beef. The claims of the measures are based on actual events, but given that the contamination described took place many months ago, the breaking news claim is ludicrous. Well, whether it's ludicrous, it doesn't mean it didn't happen, because they're saying it did happen. The European horse meat scandal first broke back in 2013, February, 1 year ago. And as well as being hopelessly outdated, the message is highly misleading. While certainly real, the products contaminated with horse meat were sold via grocery outlets in the UK and Ireland, not in the United States. So, guys, you're safe if you're eating meat from Aldi in the United States. But I don't trust none of them. There are no credible reports that suggest that any products containing horse meat were sold in any Aldi USA stores. This is all an attempt to save face. That they're saying that. That the this claim was a year ago. You're still saying that it happened. Let's see. She said, "Kiss, kiss," says she hates driving Lando, but Ken says, "Horse or horse, horse, honey." And kiss kisses, where do you think all the homeless people go? That's funny. Shut it down. So Aldi is selling, and they I had a friend that used to buy Aldi food all the time, and I just didn't trust it. Yeah, I'm like, and like when I go to Save-A-Lot and I see the meat, I get ill just smelling their meat. Although I was at Walmart the other day and I walked past where the employees go, there's like the meat locker going one way and the employees go another way, and I could smell rancid meat and it made me sick. Although I did buy beef there, and I've been reading, not that I'm trying to be all healthy and food conscious, all that stuff, that whole pink slime thing. I've been reading to avoid getting pink slime in your products. I know that Kroger doesn't sell anything with pink slime now because the FDA did say that it was okay to add as a filler, but you had to buy organic beef products. So the ground beef that I bought, and here's the funny thing. I know somebody who does buy the other meat, and that meat, when you put in the, after you eat the hamburger, you're not going to cook the whole thing, it turns gray a lot faster. I purchased that ground beef the other day, the organically grown, on Tuesday, I think, and it still is pink and meat smelling. It didn't smell funny, because sometimes when you cook the meat, to get that funny smell, you're like, this might be something else, it might be rat, but there's another video on Facebook. I'm a Facebook queen, trust. And there's another video on Facebook where they were showing how the people make hot dogs, and I've seen them throw a horse in this like meat grinder thing. It was horse, it was pigs, it was all kind of stuff. It's all the extra stuff, and they grind it up, and then they press it into this hot dogs. So I can't eat hot dogs no more, or I can't even eat hot pockets anymore, for me seeing stuff online. Kiss says, in Sicily, horse meat is one of their only meats. Cow costs way too much. Yeah, really? Oh, well, I guess I can't go to Sicily then, because I can't eat horse meat. But my dad, he was a medic in the army. When he was in Korea, he was a medic, and he's seen a lot of the soldiers come in to the infirmary with being sick, and it was because they had ingested horse meat. Kiss says she couldn't eat her little pony. Me neither. I don't want a pony. I don't want a tail. Only thing if I was a drag queen, only thing I would want was some horse hair. That's all I can work with. Anyhow, enough about food. I'm grossing myself out. So, there is a new website, and it will tell you if you are gay. So I want you all, everybody, to go to this website, and it's called Gay Check Online. And I think the actual website is gay-check-online.com. And when you and I did it today. So when you go to the website, and it's thing is, I hate noisy websites. I hate not having the option to turn off the sound because that annoys me. But this article that I got from InstinctMagazine.com, it says upon visiting the retro dystopian futuristic website, users' faces are immediately scanned by their webcams. So when I was at this website, it pops up and it says, please enable your webcam. So I enabled my webcam and then it recognizes your face. It kept on trying to focus on my shoulder until I put my webcam closer to me. But anyhow, it recognizes your face, and then there's a box that comes around your face, and then it starts scanning your face, which is very, very weird. And it says, from the website, a statement on the website explains that the images then match with the latest data on facial features and their homosexual implications, which allows Gay Check to surmise the visitor's sexual orientation. The verdict is revealed in an unmistakable size 785 font and presented alongside a soundtrack reminiscent of the Blade Runner. Yeah, I don't like the music. The music is a little weird. Everyone who uses Gay Check Online is determined to play for our team, even if they identify as straight. Turns out that's the whole point. Gay Check Online is not a practical tool, but a statement. This tool is as ridiculous as homophobia. It is a fun way to deal with the topic, while discussion itself is quite dumb and awkward for us all. If that perspective alone feels eerie, the artist's deeper explanation of the project might tingle your spine. It reminds us a little of some Nazi studies, where they try to figure out how the only real Aryan has to look like and how you can control it. They said Putin is probably already asking for the rights to this technology, so it's a fun thing. So I guess supposedly, is everybody who uses the site will automatically come out as gay. I think it's funny. I wish there was really an app like that that you could do on your phone. Ooh, Brody, LOL. Kiss Kiss says she enjoys penis. She must say she loves it a lot. Me too, Kiss. Even though it's been a long, 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 long time. See, I'm not all married like Ken and hooked up or betrothed to anyone. Anyway, we're gonna take one more break. We'll come back up. We'll have a few more things to talk about, and then we'll wrap some things up. We'll be right back.
Trading, we gon' make
could meet me in the VIP. So let's get a little faded, numbers will be traded. We gon' make some plans tonight. Forget about your old chick, you know I'm the business. We're the perfect match, no lie.
I'm glad you guys like my music. I try to, you know, not that I mix it up a lot, but I try to play some independent artists. And I've always said, if there's independent artists that want to play or have any of their music played on the 5x5, any of our shows, Real Talk with David and Nikki, the Fanboy Weekly Show, or the Late Night Show, or the Drive even, send me a tweet at the 5x5. And Kiss, you should follow me on Twitter at the 5x5, and I'll get it on here because I love music that you don't hear every day on the radio, on top 40 radio, unless it's Beyonce. Now come on, you know, it has to be Beyonce. Welcome back. It's the 5x5 late night show. I'm hanging out with Kiss Kiss and the infamous Ken Boggle in the chat room, and we're just kind of chatting about all kinds of stuff. I read another article today that was telling the longest and shortest sex in America. The spreadsheet was created to approach sex in a way that is both lighthearted and improvement oriented. They wanted to create an app that entices users to have some fun with their partner and share in that afterglow experience while encouraging open dialogue and feedback. The breakdown in terms of sexual duration by state, apparently there's no rush in New Mexico. Number one, the longest duration for sex, for actual sex, is 7 minutes and 1 second. And let's see, I'm gonna try to find Georgia. Wow, really? Really? Indiana is number 36 out of 50. Or let's see, yeah, out of 51. Indiana's 36 at 2 minutes 26 seconds. Kentucky is 43 at 2 minutes and 14 seconds, and Georgia is at 47 at 2 minutes and 7 seconds. So I obviously need to move to New Mexico because they're staying in bed pretty much all day. Well, 7 minutes is not very long. Not very long at all. Very odd. Thought you guys would like to hear that little tidbit of information. Kiss Kiss. I have before Kiss Kiss, but right now I have on jogging pants and a t-shirt. But I have before Kiss. Let's see. Now, I don't know if you guys have been watching the HBO gay show called Looking. I've been watching it. And I did a review when it first came out, like that week it came out. It comes out on Sundays. It's like a Sunday at 9 or 10 o'clock or something like that. It is about three gay friends with different life, their lives in San Francisco. There's an older guy, then there's a guy who has a partner, then there's a guy who just wants to hook up, scared of finding love. And so they've been getting a lot of flack. Like the first episode was very stereotypical. The first scene we see is the main character's character hooking up in a park, and then there was a three-way in there, and I was like, are they gonna throw all the stereotypes to just completely turn everybody off? Not that it's not reality for some gays. It's not my reality. I don't hook up in parks. Just in cars. No, I don't hook up in parks or anything. But I will tell you, I have been to a bathhouse before. I didn't do anything, but that's one of the things that you have. I might be divulging too much information. That's one of those things that you have to say you've done once in your lifetime. But it was really interesting. It was very interesting. But there was some scuzzy people there, and no. And the and the funny thing is, I remember them playing the whole soundtrack to Rent. I wonder what that was about. Anyhow, that was in St. Louis, Missouri. But this show is getting a lot of flack because people say it's boring. And when I didn't think it was boring at first until I'm like, the show is a little boring, because l last episode it was just two of the characters, the main character and the love interest, and it was very emotional, and kind of sensitive. It was sweet. But when you think about the whole show and they're in San Francisco and he'll be a portrayal of gay life, it was kind of boring. And what the one of the writers says, our gay community is looking at us a certain way. It's a minority trap. When you have a piece that showcases a community, there's this identity factor where if you're showing a certain kind of queerness, you're not honoring what queerness is. There's a sense that their queerness feels threatened by a show that is normalizing it. But here's the thing. I understand by normalizing it and try just to make it like everyday life. I live my life as a gay man in 2014. I live a very normal life. But I'm past the age of kicking and twirling at the bars or trying to go out and try to out drink or hook up with as many people as I possibly can, which there's a certain sect of the gay community that does that. Even people my age, which they shouldn't, they need to sit their butts down. But for me, I like the show. It's a gradual story, and I think sometimes we have to take some of these new shows, especially when it's a genre type show that's showcasing a specific type of person, or and it's not really a comedy, but it's not really a drama. I guess for lack of a better term, you can call it a dramedy, but it really isn't. I guess we had to take them with a grain of salt and let them develop. But some shows, and I guess it's a little bit safer on the HBO, because of these network shows, if it doesn't pick up an audience and is getting all this bad press, it is gone. You get maybe eight episodes. Remember the Cape? which I actually liked. They wouldn't even show all 13 episodes. They quit it mid-season. And that one, what was that one show? It was like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. It got 3 episodes and they yanked that bad boy. They're like, we're done. And there's some shows that get they know they're gonna be canceled, but they let it finish. They rewrite some things and they finish the show. They give it a good final show. But some of these shows you don't meet. So but I don't know about what HBO thinks, because a lot of people, since they have True Blood, which is so sensational, and not just with it's a good show, it's just it's kind of out there. You have a lot of things going on, and even it's lost kind of its spark. It's coming back for its last season this summer. But with shows like that and Girls, it doesn't have that, oh, right, I got to see this show, because I actually forget about it because I'm working when Looking is on, and when I come home from work, that's the one of the last things. It's one of the last things I do before I go to bed. It's 30 minutes, it's not very long, and I think they're getting away with having it short so the boredom isn't longer. I don't know, but if they're not careful, it's going to be gone. Supposedly, the director made these indie movies that was similar in style, and they're taking that and trying to make it into the show and incorporate the director's vision in the show. And I don't think it's working. So they're gonna have to spice it up, like Queer as Folk. I don't know how long Queer as Folk, maybe got 3 or 4 years. 3 or 4 seasons, but not that it has to be like Queer as Folk, but this is the queer. If you want to be the queer as Folk for 2014, then you need to be the Queer as Folk is 2014. You're just gonna have to. And sometimes some of the imagery and some of the things they say is a little bit off-putting. So anyhow, so check it out. It's on HBO on Sunday nights. Check it out. Let's see. I think. What are we talking about in the chat room? I didn't get to look. Let's see. Oh, Ken says it takes him 2 minutes to undress him and his hubby. Kiske says, WTF, 2 minutes? Oh, 25 minutes for a beach, and he wasn't surveyed. Well, Kentucky is lower than Indiana. Kiske says, I'm thinking that they are not talking before sex. Maybe they're talking about how long they're in. Oh, well, that's possible, kid. Because I didn't think about that. But I thought they was just talking about the whole, I guess the whole sexual moment. You have that sexual moment. I guess so. I guess I think you would be right on that. She says, hopefully. She says she likes rent. Kid says he's never been in a bathhouse, but would he, but in, oh, Ken, he did an orgy in junior high school. All right. And I'm not, I don't share. I've done a three-way, but I just don't share. Well, good kiss. Don't ever lose that. Don't ever be a one-night stand kind of girl, because unfortunately, girls get a worse rap than boys do if they're a one-night stand. If a girl's a one-night stand chick, they're called a slut. If a boy is a one-night stand, he's a conqueror. He's a stud. So. I'm not good that way either. Kish says sometimes she wishes she could be a hussy. All right, she won. Okay. Yeah, I think that's a good kiss. All right, one more break. I don't know what I'm gonna play. I didn't have anything queued up, so we have to find something. But I thank you guys for joining me. Be sure to check out everything on the 5x5.blogspot.com page. There's a lot of stuff that I talk about that's not even on the show, and I'm enjoying. And both now the Drive and the 5x5 are on Twitter, so subscribe to those so you don't have to worry about catching them on Spreaker. You can have them on your iOS device. I haven't found a really good program, podcast program for my Android phone, so I haven't really. looked, I guess. And I'm still loving my new phone. It's good so far. I wish the battery just lasts longer, which is pretty good, but the camera sucks. But here, we're gonna take one quick break, and then we're gonna be right back, and we're gonna wrap everything up, and we'll tell you guys good night. Just when they think they know me, I swish it up. I ain't that bitch. That's my favorite lyric in that song. That's Tinashe with Stunt. Yeah, I like it too. That's really is that's kind of, and I'm surprised this girl hasn't, I don't even know who she is. She hasn't blown up. I found her on Reverb Nation. She has a page there. Check her music out. It's go to her Facebook page, follow, click, like. It's I like her stuff. She has that one song that I play called Who Am I Working For, and that has all that bass in it. Anyhow, since we were talking about sex, we're going to end with, and I've been ending some of my late night shows with a book that I purchased for like $3 at Barnes & Noble. That's one thing I didn't do. I normally go to Barnes & Noble on my days off because I like grabbing some coffee and kind of chilling and look at the different, because they have so much stuff in the clearance section. They have these really, really cool coffee table books, and I just like Barnes & Noble. I can stay in there for hours. But yeah, I didn't go this week. But anyhow, this book is called The Unofficial U.S. Census: Things That Official U.N. Census Didn't Tell You About America. So this is a list of 10 all about love, sex, and family. Number one, how much money do Americans spend each year on online dating services? I didn't have that. Maybe this is why I'm not single, because I do online date occasionally with those little apps. You know, there's Growler, Grindr, Scruff. I don't use them a lot, but, you know, it is what it is. But they spend $1 billion a year, Americans, on online dating. So no wonder eHarmony has all those commercials. Number two, what percent of people say they're heterosexual? 97% say they're heterosexual. Wow. But I kind of see that. I can see people, if somebody's taking a census poll of you, I can see somebody saying that. Number three, how often does the average American have sex? 118 times a year. So that's 365 days a year. That's like one third a year. That's like a little average. Number four, how many families are one parent households? Wow, this is kind of disturbing. 13 million. Who's Chris Kiss Kiss, by the way? She's like, after Chris, no more online dating for her. Who's Chris? I need the details. Number five, how many Americans live in a household that includes at least two adult generations? Wow, and that would be like a parent and a grandparent. 16%. That's a big number. That's a big number. Number six, what percentage of marriages of at least 10 years end in divorce? 25%. So one fourth of marriages that are 10 years old or more end the divorce 25% of the time. Number seven, how many married people have a spouse from a different race or ethnicity? 14.6. That's an interesting statistic as well. What day of the week is the most popular for people to look at pornographic websites? Oh, Chris Top. Ha ha, that's funny. Chris Top is really, really nice. I like Chris. I haven't seen him much either. Sunday is the day that people look at porn the most. Online porn. Interesting. The percentage of Americans that live alone. 10% of Americans say yes, they do live alone. And number 10, if you are a single adult, are you looking for a relationship? Only 17%, Ken said Thursday, only 17% said yes to that question. If they were looking for a relationship. But I think they should, some of those questions you had to take, I think there had to be age specific. I think the demographic has to be categorized in different ages, I would think. Maybe. I don't know. But thank you guys for checking out the show tonight. I didn't mean to talk this long because I got to get up early tomorrow. I have a lot to do and I have to work. I had to get up and doctor's appointments for a mother and then pay some bills and then I have to go to work and I don't get any sleep. And I'm going to watch one more episode of House of Cards. If you haven't seen House of Cards, Ken, you said you're going to check it out. You need to check it out. Thank you, Ken Boggle. Thank you, Kiss Kiss. Glad you're back. Welcome back. Thank you guys for checking me out. Remember, you can always catch the 5x5 on the Facebook page. The 5x5 completely spelled out. Check us out on our blog, the 5x5.blogspot.com, or send me a tweet with hashtag L8Night and add me as your friend. And then we're going to start doing more. Ken and I, we're going to be doing the Google Hangouts. Thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you next time. Good night.